This is InstaDeath Survivor Support Group, and I'm Brian Hazard, your ever-eager explorer of all games narrative. Today, I'm truly giddy because I'll be exploring one of my favorite worlds with two vital stewards of Magnamund. I'm talking about Joe Deaver's Lone Wolf series, and I have Ben Deaver and Vincent Lazzari on the show to discuss it with me. Ben, Vincent, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. Let's start high level. Some listeners might not actually know what Lone Wolf is. Maybe one of you could give an explanation of the Lone Wolf world.
Sure. It's the life's work of my father, Joe. It's a series of game books, which are interactive role-playing books, choose-your-own-adventure style, that follow the story of a single character. So it's unique in that it's the same story all the way through the series. So you build up your character, your items, your skills, as you chart this course from a lowly initiate to the supreme master of the Kai. Vincent, how would you explain it?
Yeah, in fact, that's the first ever published mega campaign in role-playing. In fact, you have your character that you start, you are 15 years old, and you finish much later. I can say the conclusion, but you will play after that when you are more than 60 years old. And so in the meantime, many adventures will happen in different parts of the world. Lone Wolf was, in fact, the first game book saga in which the world building was very, very constructed. It was really fascinating because the author has created an entire world which we are going to explore book after book, and each region is consistent with the other. There's a very long history which is as long as we can find in Lord of the Rings. So yes, that was pretty immersive, and it's the work of the life of Joe Deaver, but it's also the life of many young fans, as I am, who discovered that at school when we were 8, 9 or 10 years old, and we never stop to read them, and we grow completely addict. In some countries, like in Italy, I have fans who explain me, they had only two fantasy saga to start, Lord of the Rings and Lone Wolf. And so for them, it's only as important as the Lord of the Rings, the Tolkien work. So yeah, that's very important for me. It matters for a lot of us.
Yeah, and so you mentioned, you know, the very first book in the series, Flight from the Dark, was published a year before I was born, 1984, by his father, Joe. And so, given that it's, you know, Ben's father, I realize this could be a silly question, but Vincent kind of went in this direction. When did each of you become aware of this world of Magnamund, and how did that introduction go? I know that, Ben, your experience in particular is probably different from most people's. But yeah, I'm curious about that first awareness of Lone Wolf in the world of Magnamund.
I didn't read a Lone Wolf book until after my dad passed away, which I'm ashamed to say. It was just what my dad did. I wasn't interested in what my dad was doing, weirdly. I wasn't a gamer. I picked through them. I enjoyed reading the deaths, but he kept his work very separate from his family life. It was just what he did in his bedroom. He never pushed me to read them. He never expressed disappointment that I wasn't interested. So I've been exploring my dad's inner universe since I lost him, which has been an interesting journey.
I'm thinking about my own level of interest in fishing. My dad's an avid fisherman, you know. I think it's just one of those things, right? You run away almost from what your parents' interests are. But that's interesting that you eventually came back to it. Vincent, how about you? When did you first begin exploring Magnamund?
It's very classical. I was 9 years old, and I found my first game books in the library of my school, and I took one of them. It was the very, very first one, to be honest. That was not a Lone Wolf. That was a fighting fantasy book, The Island of King Lizard. But soon after, I discovered the Lone Wolf books, and I was quite impressed by the continuity between the things. To be honest, also, I wasn't really totally completely impressed by the first one, contrary to many fans. But after I read the second one, Fire on the Water, and after that, I was completely addicted. In my view, that's one of the most epic things in fantasy I've ever read.
I'm glad you said that, because you've kind of confirmed my own experience. I really enjoyed Flight from the Dark, but Fire Upon the Water, you know, I was hooked after that book.
Same experience, so yeah.
And now, so we're talking about the first couple of books, but there are now 31 books.
Yes.
And the 32nd book is going to be the final in this saga. But there was an 18-year gap after book 28, which I don't know how to pronounce that title, actually. The Hunger of Sejanos, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Do either of you know what happened there? What was that gap?
Well, it was the game book market collapsed with the advent of computer games, consoles. You know, Zelda put the swords to Lone Wolf.
Sure. But perhaps even more interesting than that, then, how did it come back with the Storms of Chai?
It was the fans, really. When the internet got some momentum behind it and does what it does best, which is allow disparate groups of niche enthusiasts to gather together, the fan project, Project Aeon, just became a kind of a magnet for all of these wandering Kai, who then put the pressure on my dad to continue, because they all wanted to know how this thing finished. You know, they've been reading it for their whole life.
Right.
My dad, I think, finally realized that, you know, he had grown tired of it and realized that he missed it, and that was, he wanted to do it. There was a market for it, and people wanted to publish them again. So, you know, why not?
I'd say that the first step in the resurrection happened around 2004. Mongoose Publishing decided to make a Lone Wolf role-playing game. And they hired the author, a good friend of us, August Ann, who wrote the first Lone Wolf role-playing game with the support of Joe Dever. And for fans like me who thought that the series was completely stopped, that was a shock, because we said, oh, it still exists. And just after, a few years later, the Mongoose, the publisher, they made a collector edition. They republished all the books in collector edition format.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that people were happy with them, Joe announced that he will conclude the saga. So it was 15 years ago.
So when he announced that he would complete the saga, Ben, I'm sure at the time, you didn't know that he was actually announcing that you would complete the saga. So what was that like, taking over the reins of such a beloved series and one that up to that point you didn't have a lot of familiarity with?
I mean, this is almost deserves a book in its own. It was obviously, you know, first and foremost, you're dealing with the death of one of your parents.
Right.
So that was the focus. And having something to work on with him in the hospice was a real blessing, because it gave us a focus and it allowed us to, you know, we had something to talk about other than our feelings. Mm-hmm. Shit. Sorry, I just dropped my tea all over the table. Literally spilling the tea. So It gave me a focus. It gave me something to do. Gave me a means by which I could kind of process what was happening. I didn't fully appreciate the scale of what he was asking me to do, and that slowly kind of revealed itself over the next, I'd say, kind of year and a half. And honestly, I've had the best help through this from Vincent and from, you know, lots of other people, but primarily Vincent. I mean, he was there during the process of in the hospice on the end of Skype while we were taking the notes for these books, which was the first time we met, was via a screen in the hospital. So it was pretty intense. And then, you know, Vincent's been instrumental in the books. I mean, I would go so far as to saying really the books have been written by him and by my dad, and I've basically just kind of edited them. And as I've grown more kind of confident, I've started getting more and more involved in the books, and I'm discovering that I really enjoy it, and that I've actually appreciate what my dad did for the first time in a real genuine sense, that I actually think it's good. I think he did a really good thing, which is nice. Because, mm-hmm. You know, I could have inherited a really bad book series that I didn't enjoy.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm grateful for that.
Not many people write a 32 book series of novels, let alone go to the extra effort to make them interactive.
I mean, I had my own career, you know, I was busy as an event organizer producing these huge music festivals. And so this was a side project that I had to look after until the pandemic came along and then gave me the opportunity to really kind of take it more seriously, which I've had to do.
Yeah.
Because I formed a publishing company to look after the property, which I had to do because there are so many books that no publisher would take on that many books. And mm-hmm. we can get into the ins and outs of why and all of that, which is quite interesting. But it's happened that the timing is so weirdly great because the indie publishing scene is exploding as people realize that traditional publishers just aren't really... there's no real point for them of them anymore. So it's a good time for me to have to do this, as in it's a lot easier than it would have been 5 years ago. And with the pandemic, it's given me the chance to step away from my old life at the point at which I'm becoming more confident to do it. So it's all happening in the right order.
And Vincent, I was planning to ask you how you approached immersing yourself in the world, but I've gathered now that actually you've been immersed in the world for quite a while. So instead, I'll simply ask you, like, when it came to be that you would be a primary steward of this world going forward, how did you approach transitioning into that role?
I have started to work with Joe around 2010. We met in a French convention. I was in a French association which was working on loanwork stuff in French. And immediately we start to befriend, and I showed him that I was quite interested in his universe, and I show him maps I drew with some friends of my association Scriptarium. We made timelines, we made maps, we made history, we made everything we could. And when he saw that, he said, "Wow, you guys, you are in." And soon after, he sent me some new manuscript to review. He said one of the co-authors of the role-playing game wrote that. Can you review it for me and check the lore inconsistency? And so I made very serious work because I made some kind of scientific review, because I am a scientist in my professional life. And so each time I saw an inconsistency and explained why, and I quoted the book from which we can find the information to. And so it pleased Joe a lot. And after that, I and some of my friends of Scriptarium were hired as lore master to check the consistency of all the new Lone Wolf media. There wasn't a new Lone Wolf books that I didn't review. And even Lone Wolf 29, I was blessed to read it some months before all the other fans, because Joe wanted me to check if he had some inconsistency with his own universe. In fact, he nicknamed me his French hard drive when he regards to the universe, because I was checking for him everything he has written 30 years ago. Because that's quite difficult. Even when you are the author of a book, you can forget what you've written. And so you need people to check it for you that it works like that. So I became a pain in the ass for all the Lone Wolf authors. And I checked all their manuscript with Joe's approval. So I was already in charge of the universe for the lore point of view. I took no decision. I wasn't the main author or nothing, but I checked everything. I had a global view of the entire universe, which has not only game books, but also novels, video games, role-playing games with a lot of campaigns, all official and all canon. And after... when it came to the conclusion of the saga, Joe thought I should be involved in the process. And so he asked me during the events Ben mentioned just before, from the hospital, he asked me, can you handle the conclusion of the saga with Ben? And I don't know if it's in the question we can speak of it, but it was one of the weirdest moments in my life, because... that was completely contradicting feelings.
Yeah.
My idol was about to die. And at the same time, he demanded me to continue my favorite saga since I was a child. So And we were speaking in the hospital, working on it, and that was very touching and yeah. exciting, but also terribly sad. So, a very special moment, yes.
Yeah.
And after that, we were alone, Ben and me. We have never met before, except on Skype in the hospital. And he was really motivated to continue, which was fantastic. And he supported as the best I could, as I supported Joe before. I'm here from Lone Wolf. You want to continue Lone Wolf, I'm with you. That's what Joe demanded. And we managed to do it.
Yeah.
Thanks to Ben, because he forced himself to get interest. He asked for help from everyone in the Lone Wolf group, and everyone responded, and everyone was motivated to continue, which was completely amazing. In different country, you go in France, you have the Scriptarium team. You go in Germany, you have the Manticore team. You go in Italy, you have the Raven team. And in England, you have a lot of fans too. In Sweden, you have the Asphalt team. Everyone responded to Ben, everywhere, because he has the charisma of his father. People want to work with him. And yeah, it continued. And we succeeded in releasing new books and continue some of the aspect of the universe. So in fact, we all found him to continue.
Yeah.
Because without him, there wouldn't be a leader and it couldn't work.
Right. Well, it sounds like a strong bond formed in trying times. I don't want to hog the mic, so I do have a listener question here that I'd like to play as well. This comes from YK Lee.
Hi. It's impressive how long the Lone Wolf series has been running. And I was wondering if there's anything you would have liked to change about the earlier books that would have affected your work on the later ones. Thanks.
That's a surprising question.
Mm.
In fact, my first answer is definitely no, because I was hired at the beginning to keep consistency in the saga. So my work was to ensure that the last book didn't change something, retcon something from the former. So, okay. After, you have always things that you find, it would have been more easy for us if this guy wasn't dead, or if this place wasn't destroyed, or if this item was still available, but we always find solution. I think Magnamund is so vast in time and geography, in people, that you always find a solution without retconning your book.
Right.
You don't have to be lazy, you have to be creative and you find solutions.
Well, at this point, the final book in the Lone Wolf saga is all that's left to be published anew. This is a saga that began in 1984, and it's coming up on its completion. So if there are fans of binge-watching out there, now is the best time to jump into the world of Magnamund. There's already 31 books in the series, and the epic conclusion is right around the corner. And we're going to talk about this in the next episode, but there's a new edition of these books coming out, so you can get a complete collection of these books with a consistent art style and printing and all that kind of stuff. That's called the Definitive Edition. This has been Lone Wolf, the story so far, and we're going to talk in an upcoming episode about the future of Magnamund. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Ben and Vincent.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Where can people go to learn more about the books?
Magnamund.com, which is spelled as it sounds, M-A-G-N-A-M-U-N-D, Magnamund. I think it means great world in Latin, if I'm not mistaken.
Head on over to Magnamund.com, check out the world of Lone Wolf, and we'll see you in an upcoming episode of Insta-Death Survivor Support Group.
Woohoo!
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the show, become a patron at patreon.com/instadeath. A special thanks to our guests and to the contributors who helped make the show better than I ever could on my own. Intro music graciously provided by Jesse Johnson, aka Zenoda. Find more great music by searching Jesse Johnson or Zenoda, spelled with an X, on YouTube and most major streaming platforms. Podcast cover art generously contributed by Patrick O'Neill.
You can learn more about Pat's art on his Facebook page, Pat O'Neill Art.